Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American, August 14th, 2022. Fire Claims Life of Odessa Girl by Kim Smith. West Odessa residents Kathy Cobb and her son, Shane Chipman, were awakened early Saturday morning by the sound of someone beating on their door and ringing their doorbell. When they stepped outside, they were confronted by a horrible scene across the street. "We saw a lot of smoke everywhere, and it looked like there was fire falling from the sky, but it was leaves that were on fire," Chipman, 31, said. "The smoke was so thick you couldn't see anything but flames, the flashing lights from the fire trucks. A mobile home was on fire. A mobile home belonging to a family that lived on North Bridal Path and 16th Street. As long as they have, at least 30 years, Cobb said. Chipman grew up with the homeowners. Older children. I went out and hugged her," Cobb said. "She was on the ground and she tried to get her baby out, but she couldn't." Authorities confirmed an 11-year-old girl died in the blaze. Cobb said the child, who had Down syndrome, had been confined to a wheelchair. Odessa Fire and Rescue attempted a rescue, but the flames and the smoke were too heavy. Lieutenant Austin Harden of the West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department. West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department Chief Richard Peace said the girl was found in her bedroom. Her mother and another child were able to escape. A passerby saw the fire and stopped and pulled them out of the house. But by the time they were able to do that, it was too late to get her out, Peace said. Two of the victim's brothers said they wanted to wait to speak with the media until other family members had been told about the girl's death. The State Fire Marshal's Office and Extra County Sheriff's Office personnel are investigating the blaze and were still on scene about 11 a.m. "We ask for prayers for the devastated family," Extra County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said in a statement. Peace said a chaplain had been made available to the family, fire providers, deputies, and anyone else impacted by the tragedy. The chaplain can be reached through the West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department Facebook page, he said.
Here are additional articles from the Odessa American, published Sunday, August 14th. One dead, one injured in Midland County wreck. A three-vehicle crash left one person dead and one injured Friday afternoon near Midland. The wreck occurred at 3:50 p.m. on Interstate 20, 1.5 miles east of Midland, near East South County Road 1150. A Texas Department of Public Safety news release said preliminary information revealed a 2006 Freightliner Columbia driven by Jesus Gertrudez Castanon, 32, of Laredo, was traveling east on Interstate 20. A Jeep Laredo driven by Granville Lee Oden, 82, of Lovington, New Mexico, and a 2015 Kenworth T80 driven by Jesus Lorenzo Lopez Diaz, 34, of Gardendale, were traveling west on Interstate 20. Castanon lost control and veered across the center median and struck the Jeep head-on, the release said. Lopez Diaz avoided the Freightliner but was struck by the debris. Oden was pronounced dead at the scene by Midland County death investigator Gilbert Villarreal, the release said. Castanon was treated at Midland Memorial Hospital and released. Rangers asked to investigate custody death. A 46-year-old Odessa woman died in the Ector County Jail on Thursday, and the Texas Rangers have been asked to investigate. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Creesta Arnold died around 7:30 p.m. Saturday, and an autopsy will be performed by the Lubbock County Medical Examiner's Office. Online court records indicate that on July 22nd, Ector County District Judge James Rush revoked Arnold's probation in a credit card abuse case after she committed forgery in Ward County. He sentenced her to 5 concurrent 10-month state jail terms. Sheriff Mike Griffiths believes Arnold died as a result of medical issues.
Obituaries. Daniel Howard. Odessa, Texas. Daniel Howard, a.k.a. Hattie Tent, passed away on July 30th. Surrounded by his loving family at the Medical Center Hospital of Odessa, he was born in Bussey, Burma, on July 21, 1936, to Meng Hunt and Ting Nut. After Daniel graduated from high school, he studied engineering and earned a degree from the Government Technical Institute of Insing. He then pursued a career in defense industries and heavy industries enterprise. He ascended in ranks and commanded the defense industries of Burma as a colonial. After retirement, he located to the United States and lived in Odessa, Texas for the last 25 years. Daniel loved to play golf, enjoyed country western music, and cherished his family. He was a detail-oriented, highly organized, hard worker, and an avid reader. The legacy of his kind spirit, perseverance, and passion for helping others will live on through all. A private viewing service will be held at the Purchase La Paz Funeral Home on August 6th, followed by a cremation on August 11th at the American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, crematory. The family is grateful for the condolences, flowers, and donations. Billy Linda Engel, Lubbock. Billy Linda Engel, October 15, 1941. On August 4th, Billy Linda Engel entered into eternal rest on August 4th at the age of 80. She was born in Snyder, Texas to Bill and Elsie Hairston on October 15, 1941. She ascended high school in Colorado City, Texas, and later earned her degree at Tarleton State. Billy was teaching school in Andrews, Texas, when she met and married Sam Engel of Cleveland, Oklahoma. They had two sons, John and Rob. She continued to teach for 35 years in El Dorado and finally retiring in Midland. She later moved to Lubbock. She was an avid reader and history buff. She also had a special place in her heart for cats and dogs, and she loved nature and traveling. More than anything, she adored her grandchildren and making memories with them. In lieu of flowers, the family wishes you to remember Linda as you spend time with your loved ones and consider donations to the Susan G. Combe Breast Cancer Foundation. Death Notices. Bobby Dale Leonard, Carlton, Texas. Bobby Dale Leonard, 89, of Carrollton, Texas, died Friday, July 15th, in Carrollton, Texas. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m. August 20th. Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, Reverend Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Joaquin Manuel Romero Sr., Odessa. Joaquin Manuel Romero Sr., 67, in Odessa, died Sunday, August 7th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Monday, August 15, Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, August 15th. Family, friends, raising funds following fatal fire. The story was written by Kim Smith. Well over 100 people gathered Sunday night to honor an 11-year-old West Odessa girl who lost her life in an early morning fire Saturday. They brought flowers and stuffed animals, released balloons, and prayed with Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths. Sean Perkins and Tristan Collins remembered their sister, Azaria Williams, as someone who was known for her hugs. Quote, "My sister was the nicest, most loving person. She made everyone laugh. She was just full of love, and there was never a frown on her face," Perkins said, struggling to control his emotions. "She doesn't deserve this. The way she passed away was just so cruel," end quote. Collins said his brother's description hit the nail on the head. Quote, "She loved everybody. She was just so sweet," Collins said through tears. "I can't believe she's gone. I'm still in shock," end quote. Griffiths told the crowd that Azaria had Down syndrome, a condition his 4-year-old niece also has. Quote, "Down syndrome people are the sweetest people on earth. There are only angels on earth," Griffiths said. He asked for prayers, love, and support for the family in the coming days, months, and years. Several first responders were also in attendance at the event. A fire broke out in Misty Perkins' mobile home on North Bridal Path and 16th Street shortly after 3 a.m. Saturday. Perkins and another child were able to escape, but efforts to rescue Azaria were unsuccessful due to heavy smoke and flames, authorities said. The home was completely destroyed. West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department Chief Richard Pease said Saturday the girl was found in her bedroom. Quote, A passerby saw the fire and stopped and pulled them out of the house, but by the time they were able to do that, it was too late to get her out, Pease said. West Odessa resident Kathy Cobb and her son Shane Chipman were awakened early Saturday morning by the sound of someone beating on their door and ringing their doorbell. When they stepped outside, they were confronted by a horrible scene across the street. Quote, "We saw a lot of smoke everywhere, and it looked like there was fire falling from the sky, but it was leaves that were on fire," Chipman, age 31, said. Continuing the quote, "The smoke was so thick you couldn't see anything but flames and the flashing lights from the fire trucks," end quote. Chipman grew up with the homeowner's older children. The State Fire Marshal's Office and Ector County Sheriff's Office personnel are investigating the blaze. Griffiths said Sunday he had no updates on the investigation. Family and friends are raising money to help in the aftermath of the tragedy. A Venmo is set up at Christy-Diaz-2 to help the family. Making a difference. Falcon Promise boosts UTPB enrollment. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Kicked off in March, University of Texas Permian Basin's Falcon Free program has had 1,157 students accept funding. Funding has been exhausted for the first year, but President Sandra Woodley and Vice President for Enrollment Management, P.J. Woolston, said they plan to keep it going. Woolston said the scholarship was offered to more than the 1,157 students, but that was the number that have signed up and accepted the funding. Falcon Free is part of the University of Texas System's $300 million endowment to expand tuition assistance programs at all University of Texas institutions, also known as Promise Plus. The Promise Plus program provides tuition assistance to eligible students at 7 UT institutions, including UT Arlington, UT Dallas, UTEP, UTRGV, UT San Antonio, and UT Tyler. Falcon Free, the name UTPB took for its plan, covers the cost of tuition and mandatory fees for students who have limited family resources to pay for college at UTPB, a March 15th Odessa American article detailed. Plans at the different system schools have different qualifications. Some of the details about Falcon Free include UTPB covering 100% of tuition and fees for families making $100,000 or less. Since it was the first year for Falcon Free, it was hard to know how many people would be interested, but the university is thrilled with the response. Quote, "We have found a way to help students to go to college here," Woodley said. Woodley said there are other scholarship programs and funding that UTPB has used to help students who wanted Falcon Free but missed the deadline and that particular funding. Quote, "But there are many other students who we found a way to help them enroll using various other sources," Woodley said. "We're really happy with the response so far, and our enrollment is looking very strong for the fall," Woodley added. Woolston said enrollment is trending upward, and they are predicting UTPB will be over 5,000 in the fall. Quote, "Now the student credit hours, we're seeing a really big uptick as well. So if you'll remember, on Falcon Free, students are required to take 12 credit hours. They're required to be full-time. 55% of our students are part-time, so we have a large part-time population. To qualify for Falcon Free, you have students who have more money, so they can work less, take more hours, and so we're really seeing in that trend our student credit hours is up around 20% compared to where it was this time," Woodley said. Quote, "We expect to soften a little bit by the time we get to the census date, if you will, but it's very strong in the number of courses that students are signing up for, and also the headcount enrollment, end quote. Woodley added that the unduplicated headcount of students was about 7,000 students last year. Fall last year, we served around 5,000, so we have a number of students who stopped and they don't all come to the fall. So that didn't come in the carousel of the 8-week online courses, and that then become the spring and not in the fall. But for us, having 7,000 students in a year is really strong, and we are really looking to significantly increase that over the next 5 years. Falcon Free is a really important program for us to achieve our goals. It's not the only thing to which we attribute the increase in enrollment, Woodley added. To see the headcount and semester credit hours increase at almost double the rate, Woolston said that tells them that a lot of students who were enrolled part-time did that because they just couldn't afford to be enrolled full-time. Quote, now that we figured out how to help them solve that problem, and UT's system has helped us figure that out, we've removed that obstacle for them, and it's impacting a lot of students disproportionately as any other program. We basically said, we've suspected this was a barrier. Let's figure out how to tackle it. We came up with a way to tackle it, and it is paying off better than we expected, Woolston said. Falcon Free is intended to cover students throughout their time at UTPB. Quote, as long as they meet those need requirements, then we'll cover their gap to tuition, Woolston said. They'll have to fill out an application every year, Director of Strategic Communications Alexa Dunson said. Quote, a good way to clarify is that as long as they qualify, they will continue to benefit. But we certify or confirm that they qualify on a yearly basis, Woolston said. Woodley said the Falcon Free money was limited. Quote, we have $1 million. Now we're hoping and asking for the UT system to provide additional funding next year because we think the interest in this program will grow. And plus, it was a little bit late in the year when we got it going last year, so some students didn't know about it. We will have to fit the program within the available funding, and we're constantly looking for ways to increase our other scholarship dollars so that we don't miss a beat in serving the students who are interested in going to school here. Not all of our students will be funded that can be funded with Falcon Free because it is a limited program. Generous, but limited, she added. Woodley said the UT system has been very receptive to funding Falcon Promise. Quote, I think they're very happy with the program and the benefits that the universities are seeing from this extra affordability that wasn't there before. I think it is impactful. The impact, I think, is really strong in the Permian Basin, where so many of our high school students and others in our community can't afford the time or the money to go to university, Woodley said. She added that they hope it will be a game changer in the sense that students who otherwise wouldn't even consider going into college might now consider it. Quote, it's an option that they didn't see in their future, end quote. Woolston said they're already hearing feedback from students about being able to take advantage of higher education. Quote, we're now trying to up our game, and this is a dialogue with UT system. They're talking to us about this because everybody is interested in bridging this gap, Woolston said. This isn't just us saying we need more money, end quote. Woodley noted that the UT system started the program at UT Austin several years ago and replicated it. Woodley said they think about 73% of the population here falls within the $100,000 or less income guideline, which is enough to make a big difference. Woodley said it's hard to tell what part of their enrollment increase can be attributed completely to Falcon Free, quote, but there's no doubt that it increased our momentum, end quote. Woolston said Falcon Free is not just another program for UTPB. Quote, We really built it to work in tandem with all of the other important community and regional work that we're doing. We are a regional institution, and we are deeply invested in the success of this region. It's probably the primary point of our strategic plan. Everything stems around student success, our commitment to the area really helping the people here succeed. And Falcon Free is one very significant part of a lot of things that we're doing that have increased applications significantly, which means numbers of admitted students is significantly increasing. How much will enrollment increase? We'll know here in a few weeks, but every indication is that that also will increase significantly, Wolston said. Officials said UTPB was awarded $47 million in financial aid annually. Woodley said they will have their first inaugural scholarship ball October 6 at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center to bring in more scholarship dollars to help these programs. Quote, UTPB is filling an extraordinary, unique need in Texas. If you think about the UT system, the whole point behind that design was, let's put a number of institutions throughout the state so that people everywhere can have access to higher education, bachelor's degrees, graduate degrees. That's why we have a number in the mega region, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin. That's why you've got them in population centers like El Paso and Brownsville and elsewhere. You've got lots of options for higher education in even Lubbock, Abilene, San Angelo, some of the other important cities in this area. But you have this huge area in the Permian Basin. The UT system recognizes that you've got to put an institution here, or a whole bunch of people are not going to have access to higher education. And that's a really unique need that UTPB fills that nobody else can fill, Woolston said. Quote, that's not to denigrate in any way Odessa College, Midland College, Howard College. I mean, really important work that they're doing. But this is a four-year institution with graduate programs. That's a definite need that lifts the economy of the entire area. What we have is we have students coming from all over the Permian Basin from 120-mile radius as well as beyond. But those students, a lot of them, are going to stay here because they built a life and a network here, Woolston added. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Free back-to-school haircuts. Amenti Beauty Academy, 3119 East University Boulevard, Suite A, is offering free haircuts for students ages 5 through 12 through August 31st. Haircuts will be done by the Academy's students with a licensed professional overseeing the process. For more information, call 432-272-4444. Exhibitions. Ballroom Marfa, 108 East San Antonio Street in Marfa, has scheduled the viewing of Projects Carolina Quesada and David de Rosas at the Museum of Modern Art through January 2, 2023, coinciding with The Blessings of the Mystery through September 4th. To learn about the artist's process in making the works, listen to their transmissions interview at tinyurl.com/4JTHKX5W. Fall Sweep Community-Wide Cleanup. Keep Odessa Beautiful is calling out for all Adopt-A-Spot businesses, schools, clubs, organizations, families, and individuals for the annual Fall Sweep Community-Wide Cleanup Initiative, September 12th through November 19th. Prizes will be awarded in the following categories: collect most bags of litter, cleaned the most locations in Odessa, and the Adopt-A-Spot raffle. To register, or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/3MEAUBAC. 8W. WTS 60th Season. West Texas Symphony, formerly Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale, will be celebrating its 60th season starting in September. Season subscriptions are now on sale. All symphony concerts are at 7:30 p.m. at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland. For the season complete schedule, tickets, or more information, call 432-552-4437 or 800-514-3849 or visit WTXS.org. Calling all participants. Keep Odessa Beautiful is calling all youth and adult designers, fashionistas, and creative minds for the 7th Annual Permian Basin Recycle Fashion Show. Entry deadline is 5 p.m. October 7th. The show will take place at 6 p.m. October 21st at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Contestants will be judged how they best display the ability to reduce, reuse, repurpose, and/or recycle. Prizes will be awarded and announced. Sponsorships are available. To register, guidelines, or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/MTF6E7TM.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. THR for Maximum Cardiac Health. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 63-year-old male who does weight-bearing exercises 3 or 4 times a week. I also am on multiple blood pressure meds, including atenolol, which slows the heart rate. What is the target heart rate while on this drug for maximum cardiac health? Answer. There are two ways to answer your question, the difference being the target resting heart rate and the target exercise heart rate. The goal for atenolol as a blood pressure medicine is not the resting heart rate, but the resting blood pressure. However, atenolol and other beta blockers are seldom used as the first medicine to treat blood pressure, except in cases where beta blockers are also useful for something else. Still, when a person requires multiple medications, beta blockers are often used as a second or third line treatment. If a person has good control of their blood pressure at a heart rate of 80, the medication is successful. However, most times the resting heart rate needs to be in the 50s or 60s for the blood pressure to come down to goal in a patient taking a beta blocker. The target exercise heart rate is usually recommended to be between 55 and 85% of your maximum heart rate, which can be measured by a stress test or estimated by a calculator. Unfortunately, the calculator is only a rough guide at best, especially in women and in middle-aged or older people. And beta blockers have variable effects on individuals.
Retired man ready to travel while wife is still working. Dear Abby, I'm 62 and recently retired. My wife is 56 and still working. We've been married 32 years. She'll retire at 60 to get a full pension from her company, and we will have several million dollars in our retirement savings. We travel together internationally once a year for about 10 days. I've talked to her about my desire to travel more often by myself or with my retired friends, since now is my golden age and I'm still physically able to do it. I enjoy classical operas, music, and would like to go to some music festivals such as the Salzburg Festival. My wife thinks I'm selfish since she still works. I've explained to her that we can't predict our future physical abilities. My knees are deteriorating. If by the time she retires I'm no longer physically strong enough to travel, I may regret it forever. If the situation were reversed and she wanted to travel by herself or with her friends after she's retired, I think it would be selfish of me to insist she not do it. Is she right? Is my desire to travel more before my wife retires selfish? Signed, Pondering in Pennsylvania. Dear Pondering, I don't think so. You've worked hard for many years to be able to afford the luxury, and you should be allowed to enjoy the benefits of your labors with her blessing. In a few more years, she'll have the same freedom. P.S. I hope your health will allow you both to take many more vacations together in the future. And don't count yourself out because of your deteriorating knees. As I'm sure you are aware, knee replacements are common now. Several individuals I know say it has greatly improved their lives, and hips too. Dear Abby, I'm a very successful 55-year-old married man. I love my wife, but I have a girlfriend I also love. Both women feed my soul. I hate that society tells me I'm wrong for having the two of them. I spend quality time with both. I make enough money to go on expensive, extended vacations. I love my life. These two ladies are the best thing that ever happened to me besides my three beautiful children. Why shouldn't I be able to enjoy both of them without feeling like I'm sneaking around all the time? I know there are going to be naysayers who respond, but most women will probably never be the only woman in a man's life. Signed, Happy with Two. Dear Happy with Two, this may seem silly, an important detail, but how do your wife and your mistress feel about this arrangement? You mentioned that you feel like you're sneaking around. Why is that? Isn't your wife on board with it? And how about your mistress? Will she be satisfied with the status quo until she's a senior citizen with the understanding that you will leave her a very rich old lady? It's not lost on me that nowhere in your letter have you asked me for advice. I'm printing this because we all know there are married men in the upper income brackets who, like you, feel entitled to enjoy the attentions of more than one woman. But all it demonstrates is that having money does not guarantee a person has character or class.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.